You're listening to Unveiling Mormonism from PursueGod.org.
One of the questions that we get all the time from our listeners is, how do we pick a non-Mormon church, right? So maybe you've been listening to the podcast, you've been kind of on the fence, you're coming out of Mormonism, or maybe you're helping, you're not a Mormon, but you're helping someone coming out of Mormonism, and they're asking this question now, right? How do we pick a non-Mormon church? Because Mormons, especially in Utah, Mormons are assigned a church. You know, they, if you live in a certain neighborhood, then you go to a certain ward. That's just how it works in Mormonism. If you're outside of Utah, you know, if you live in a certain area, you go to the only ward that's available to you, right? There aren't as many wards available to you outside of Utah, but in Utah, they're all over the place. And if you want to change churches in Mormonism, you literally have to move. But that's not how it works in Christianity. There's this amazing freedom. Some of you are learning this just now coming out of Mormonism. There's this amazing freedom in Christianity. You can pick whatever church you want. But how do you pick the church? That's the question that I'm going to be answering today. And I've got a lot of information for you today. Even as I was thinking about this topic and as I've helped many people to do this, this is an important episode for many of you who are listening. Now, if you're not a Mormon and you're even a Christian, this is a great episode for you. Even if you're considering, you're moving to a new area and you're trying to find a church, you know, the list that I have here isn't just for Mormons or former Mormons. It's really for anybody. And I guess I want to start with this statement. There are a lot of churches that are called Christian churches that I would encourage you to stay away from, right? Just because they might not, you know, have like theology that's totally out of whack doesn't mean you should just attend that particular church. I think it's really important to consider the church that you're attending and make sure that it's a healthy biblical church. And we're going to do that today. Now, I want to start with a scripture verse, probably a verse that as a Mormon, you might have heard only in the context of Mormonism. It's 1 Timothy 3:15. Paul writes this, "This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth." So in Mormonism, this verse is a lot of times used to reinforce the idea that the true church has to be a single organized institution, one authority, with priesthood offices, with continuing revelation. So in Mormon thought, Mormons would say this verse is talking about, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In fact, Joseph Fielding Smith wrote it like this, "There is but one church upon the earth which the Lord recognizes as his church, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. All other churches are false and corrupt." So this is like part of the Mormon origin story, right? Joseph Smith himself said this. Joseph Fielding Smith later said the same thing. So there's this idea, people coming out of Mormonism, there's this idea where you're looking at other churches and you've been taught your whole life that other churches are false and corrupt. And so there's a hesitation for many people coming out of Mormonism. And I think it's actually good that there's a hesitation, first of all. Let me just say that. I think it's good that there's a hesitation because you should really consider, once you realize you have freedom to choose your church, right? You should really consider what church should you choose. But the Bible paints a different picture than Mormonism, right? Mormons would say that the truth of God is safeguarded by church hierarchy and by prophetic authority and by priesthood keys, right? Like this is what was drilled into your head if you were a Mormon your whole life, that the truth is safeguarded by this organizational institutional religion. But when Paul writes this in 1 Timothy 3, he's not talking about a corporate organization or a restored priesthood system. He's describing a community of believers with a proper godly leadership structure. Go back and read all of 1 Timothy 3. You'll see he just got done explaining eldership and pastors and the qualifications of those guys. Like this is really important. But the whole point is he's not saying that there's one institutional church and you better find the right one. No, he's saying that men and women who belong to Jesus and uphold his truth, That is the real church. That is the true church. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that no one can lay any foundation other than the one we have already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the foundation, the living God, Jesus himself. He is the foundation of the church, not some priesthood structure that we've set up, whether in the Mormon church or the Catholic church or something like that. In fact, Ephesians 2, he says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. So the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, right, from the New Testament, not some like modern day structure of apostles and prophets. That is not, we've talked about this a lot in previous episodes, like you don't need to look for current apostles and prophets. We already have the apostles and prophets, the foundation of the true biblical New Testament church. And so any expression of that in the local Christian church, as long as it's centered on Jesus and deriving its authority from the Word of God, from the Bible, right? So it's a community built on Jesus, where the Bible is central and the gospel of grace is preached without distortion. Let me just say that again. That's kind of a good summary. I'm going to get into the weeds a little bit more in this episode, but a good summary of this is you're looking for a community built on Jesus, so it's Jesus-centered, where the Bible is central, so it's Bible-based. At Alpine Church, we say Jesus-centered, Bible-based. That's just so important. And then I would say the third thing is that the gospel of grace is preached, right? Really, the gospel of grace is preached. So Jesus-centered, Bible-based, and gospel-celebrating or something like that. This is what you're going to look for. That's where our conversation is going to begin today. So let's kind of dive into the weeds a little bit more on this. How to pick a non-Mormon church that's truly centered on Christ and grounded in Scripture. So I'm gonna just kind of give you some overview, some key points, and then I'm going to finish this episode. So keep listening to the very end. I'm going to finish this episode with kind of a 10-point checklist that you can take with you. You can overlay as you're researching the church that you want to find. Now, if you're in northern Utah, I would say start with Alpine Church, because I would hope that all of these things I'm about ready to say, these are true today of Alpine Church. We have multiple campuses throughout northern Utah, and these will be, hopefully these will be true in 30 and 40 more years, right? This is what a biblical church, a healthy, you know, New Testament, biblically functioning church looks like today. Now, if you are in northern Utah, we're not the only church like this. So you might find other churches in northern Utah that are, because there are many healthy churches that qualify. So I'm not just plugging our local church. I really encourage you to find the church that matches these requirements and fits your needs. Okay, there are a lot of healthy churches in most areas around the country. Now, if you're not in Utah, you really need to kind of then overlay this as you're searching for a church. Really prayerfully consider the church that you're plugging into. And then I would just say, like, plug into that church. Get involved in that church. A lot of Mormons come out of Mormonism, and then they're gun shy about plugging into church because they've got church hurt. They've been burned by the Mormon church, so they're hesitant to get plugged into another church. I know it takes some time, but I would encourage you to plug in as soon as you can to a church that meets these criteria. Okay, so here we go. Look for a church. I've already said this, but I'm going to say it again. Look for a church that preaches the Bible as the final authority. Okay, so a healthy church believes that the Bible alone is God's inspired word. So they're going to believe what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. Now, there are churches out there that don't believe in the Bible as the inspired word of God. So there are churches out there that would say, no, what our preacher says is really the final authority. So there might be churches out there that kind of have their own prophets or apostles or things like that, even Christian churches, right? Because any church can say they're a Christian church. So just be aware of that. If you notice that the church you're checking out, look at their website, or maybe you go and listen to a couple of their sermons. If you notice that too much authority is given by the preacher, right? And he's trumping the Bible. He's saying, no, 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 what I'm saying is the ultimate authority. That sounds Mormon, doesn't it? Well, that's not true. That's not biblical. So stay away from churches that that elevate one of their leaders or maybe a previous leader. They elevate their writings or their teachings or their, you know, what they preach from the pulpit. If they elevate that above what clearly the Word of God says, stay away from that kind of a church. Now, also, here's another thing. You should, as you listen to sermons, make sure that they're explaining Scripture in context. I would say, you know, pay attention to whether, you know, there are some churches out there that, and these aren't necessarily like churches that don't preach the gospel, but there are churches out there that I wouldn't go to that rarely ever even, during their sermons, they rarely ever even reference Scripture. Or maybe they reference Scripture here and there, but they're only like pulling, they're cherry picking verses of Scripture so that they can say what they want to say. Stay away from those kinds of churches. Make sure that the church that you're attending really is preaching the Bible as the final authority. Make sure that it's rooted in Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to go to a church that preaches verse by verse through the Bible, although those churches are great. But at least make sure you're going to a church where clearly they are teaching the Word of God. Their sermons are based on the Word of God, not based on whatever the preacher wants to talk about that week. So look for a church that preaches the Bible as the final authority. Here's the next thing. Make sure that the gospel, every church talks about the gospel, just like the Mormon church talks about the gospel, right? They use that word all the time. Make sure that the gospel is about grace, not about performance. Make sure that the church that you're attending isn't like really what Mormonism is. Mormonism uses all the same language that we have in the Bible, that we have in good, healthy churches. It uses all the same vocabulary, but their vocabulary isn't right. It's off a little bit, right? True Christianity teaches that salvation is a gift of grace through faith. It's not about your works. It's not about your worthiness, right? Romans 3 says, "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight." So Mormonism, if you've been listening to this podcast, you'll know that Mormonism teaches a grace plus sort of gospel. Yes, we're saved by grace after all we can do, things like that. But again, I want you to hear this. There are non-Mormon Christian churches out there, right? You can be attending a church like that for several months before you realize, wait a second, this is preaching the same thing essentially that I had, I mean, without all the Mormon trappings, but this is still preaching works-based righteousness. There are quote-unquote Christian churches out there that teach works-based righteousness. Here's an example. There are some churches out there that teach that you have to be baptized in order to be saved, that you're actually not saved until you get baptized. Friends, I want you to hear this. That is works-based righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't get baptized. Of course you should get baptized because Jesus says that you should get baptized. But a church that says that you are not saved, you are not a child of God until you get baptized, that is a performance-based church. Here's another example. There are some churches out there that are really legalistic around the concept of drinking, right? I actually grew up in a church like this that basically, they might have not have said it like this, but the sense that I got was that if I'm a Christian, that I can't drink. And that if I drink, then I've backslidden and I'm not a Christian anymore. Now, to be sure, the Bible says don't get drunk. So we shouldn't get drunk. But there are churches that go too far and they move into legalism. This another way to think about this is like LDS light, right? The LDS church has a lot of legalism baked into its doctrine. But there are Christian churches out there that have legalism baked into their doctrine as well. Now, again, I want to just be clear about this. This isn't to say that you should just now throw caution to the wind and just go get drunk every weekend now that you're a Christian. You have freedom. Paul talks about that in Romans 6. Should we sin all the more so that grace may abound? He says, of course not. So we're saved by grace through faith, period. But what happens then is we begin to live this new life from the inside out. We have this freedom, but don't use your freedom, your new freedom, to indulge in sin. That's a biblical way to look at it. So there are churches then that cross this line into legalism where, and probably this happens over generations, but where pretty soon now you're starting to like be the purity cops and saying, oh, you had a drink, you must not be a Christian anymore. And so that legalism can spread into other areas. So watch out for legalism around baptism. Watch out for legalism around drinking. But I think you should also, on the other side of this, watch out for churches that are, the old-fashioned word for this is antinomian. Antinomian churches are the opposite of legalistic churches. They're like, they're the ones that say, hey, do whatever you want. We're free in Christ, so do whatever you want. And so you'll find in these churches, you'll find like drunkenness and debauchery and sexual immorality in these churches. Stay away from those churches as well. So it's like you got to just pay attention to both extremes. Watch out for churches that are legalistic on one side and churches that are liberal. I don't mean that politically necessarily, but liberal on the other side. Like, just watch out for those churches. Speaking of that, watch out for churches that speak too much about politics. The church should not be about politics. So beware of churches that are telling you how to vote. Now, you should go to a church that speaks to issues that are in politics. Like, find a church that is pro-life, absolutely, because that is not a political issue. That's a biblical issue. We're made in the image of God, and that means that we should speak up for the unborn. Clearly, you should find a church that teaches that there is such a thing as male and female, that the gender issues, these traditional issues are biblical issues first. They're not political issues first. So find a church that isn't afraid to call a woman and a man. Make sure to find a church that isn't afraid to call out homosexuality as a sin. But make sure you don't go to a church that only calls out homosexuality as a sin. Because, friends, look, the Bible makes it clear that there is more heterosexual sin in the church than there is homosexual sin in the church. So make sure to find a church that is going to call a spade a spade. But again, I think it's really easy to find a church that slips into this mode where they're only calling out the other people's sins, right? So the pastor is calling out homosexuality or LGBTQ stuff, but he's not calling out heterosexual sin in his own family, right? So everybody knows his kid sleeps around, but he's not going to call that out because that's a sin in his own household. So he's not going to call that out. Well, the Bible does. The Bible calls that out. So do you see how this goes back to that issue of finding a church that preaches the Bible as the final authority, not sort of our pet peeve sins? So if you go to a church that is too political, that is really like let's say a Trumper church where it's everyone's wearing the MAGA hats. Now, you don't have to tell people they can't wear MAGA hats or they can't vote for Trump. That's not the point. It's just that churches that get too focused on that side of things, what they're going to end up doing, this is always what happens. I'm telling you guys, what they're going to end up doing is they're going to only call out the sins on the left. They're not going to call out the sins on the right. And now they're not preaching the Bible anymore. Now they're being selective about what they're preaching. So just be aware of churches like that. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't care about politics. I'm not saying that your Christianity shouldn't impact your politics. It should, for sure. But just beware of those churches that are telling you how to vote. And then pretty soon they're getting in this place where they're not calling out Republicans or Democrats. They're only calling out the other side of the aisle. Because now you're no longer letting the Bible be your authority. You're letting something else drive the agenda, and watch out for those churches. And on that note, watch out for, this is really important, watch out for prosperity gospel churches. Now, maybe you've never heard of this before, but prosperity gospel, prosperity teaching says that if you're a Christian, that God wants you to be healthy and wealthy and successful. And so what happens in prosperity gospel churches, and this is all over the place in the South, this is all over the place in the Bible Belt. And the reason for this is that this is like what people want to hear. And so people love to go to a church where it's positive and it's encouraging and it's preaching a message that you want to hear. The problem is that that's not the message of the Bible, Again, it goes back to teaching the Bible. The Bible doesn't actually guarantee health and wealth and success. Now, if you are healthy and wealthy and successful, you better praise God for it, because that's a blessing from God, but he doesn't owe it to you. But prosperity gospel teaching says that he owes it to you. See the difference? See the problem with this? Is if you go to a church where this is what they're preaching, and then all of a sudden you have suffering and trials in your life, you lose your job, or your wife gets sick, or your kids get sick, like pretty soon now, because you were sold a bill of goods, you're going to start to doubt the Bible because they weren't actually preaching the Bible. You're going to doubt God because they weren't preaching something that's from God. I mean, how does the prosperity gospel handle Psalm 23? Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Like, the Bible teaches that you will go through dark valleys. Luke 9:23, Jesus says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily and follow me. That doesn't sound like the prosperity gospel. Well, prosperity gospel churches just won't preach verses like this, or they'll somehow twist it to fit their biblical narrative. So watch out for prosperity gospel churches. It's going to preach what you want to be true, but it's not biblically true. Don't replace your LDS performance religion with a health and wealth false gospel. Okay, so those are some of the things to watch out for. Let me just talk about the community for a second. When you find a church, I just really encourage you to find a community that loves well and lives biblically. Jesus said it like this, John 3:13-35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. When you walk into a church, pay attention to the community, to the feel that's there. You know, a lot of times this means it needs to be a little bit of a smaller or more mid-sized church. Now, you can have this in a mega church. Mega churches aren't wrong. Mega churches aren't bad. If they check all the boxes so far that I've been talking about, mega churches, bigger churches are fine. Now, it might feel weird to you coming out of Mormonism, but here's the key about a mega church is if you end up finding a church that's like 1,000 plus, just make sure you get connected to a small group at some point, because small group is where those mega churches have real community. Find a good, healthy small group and look for community there in that small group. Even a smaller to middle-sized church, you should still look for a small group. Small group is a place that most solid Christian churches do community well. Now, for you coming out of Mormonism, that might feel weird because you don't really have small groups in Mormonism. But in Christianity, this is one of the best places to live out this one another thing that we see in Scripture. So I would encourage you to check out a small group at some point. You might need to kind of dip your toe in for a few months, but at some point, if you really are going to be a part of a healthy church community, it's more than likely going to mean you're going to want to get involved in a small group and make sure that they're loving one another well in that context. What does that mean, loving one another well? Here's the two things I think that means. It means that they speak the truth to one another. Like, there's authenticity. There's so many Mormons that come out of Mormonism and they're shocked at how open our men's groups are, our women's groups, or our small groups are. Because in Christianity, you're not afraid to be honest about your struggles. You'll be honest about your kids and what they're struggling with, or your own struggles. And that's kind of a hallmark of genuine Christian community, is you're not fake anymore. Because there's grace there, there's love there. And so for you as a Mormon, a former Mormon coming into a community like that, it might take you a minute to kind of get used to that. Like, wow, it's refreshing to see how truthful that they are in community. When they share prayer needs, they're honest about their prayer needs. It's not fake. It's not hypocritical. They're not trying to look better than everybody else. They're not trying to play the part. They genuinely lean on one another for support and encouragement. And what that means is that they're vulnerable, but they're also truthful. What you'll find in a good, healthy small group or a healthy church is people speak the truth in love. Those are the two things I was referencing. That you're willing to speak the truth, but you do it in love. This is the hallmark of a healthy community. You know, if you're not willing to speak the truth, then that's ruinous empathy. That's not genuine love. Genuine love speaks the truth, but because you care about the person. Now, there are also communities that happily speak the truth, but they don't do it in love. They do it in judgment. No, a biblical community speaks the truth in love. And if you're coming out of Mormonism, maybe you've never experienced a community like that. This is what you want to look for. You'll see it in the preaching, that the preaching speaks the truth but they do it in love. And then you'll see that impact the way the small groups work, is that the small group leaders and just people, you know, the serving teams, the leaders of the serving teams, like it's just a community that is willing to talk to people, not about people. You know, an unhealthy community is one where there's a lot of gossip and backbiting, but a healthy community is one where they speak the truth in love. They're willing to confront biblically, lovingly, and then a healthy person then can receive that and then make an adjustment to it, right? This is what Galatians 6:2 says, is share each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. The context for that verse is what to do when a brother or sister is sinning. What do? Well, you share their burdens. You speak the truth in love to them, and this is how you fulfill the law of Christ. If you're coming out of Mormonism, it's likely that you've actually never seen this in operation in your Mormon community. You know, Mormon communities tend to be very tight-knit, but they're very superficial from my experience. They're very superficial, and nobody is really speaking truth and love to one another. Well, this is what you should find in a healthy biblical church. Now, I want to warn you, that doesn't mean they're perfect and they don't do it perfectly and they're still going to screw up because biblical churches still have human beings there, and human beings are imperfect and they're sinners. So don't go into a community expecting everyone to be perfect. That's just not how it's going to be. But when you speak the truth in love and you learn how to extend grace to one another, that's a community that you're going to find that is really going to be ripe for true maturity, true health. All right, enough of all the preliminary conversation. Let me give you now a church evaluation checklist. I want to share with you 10 questions that you can ask as you're evaluating a church. You know, you're coming out of Mormonism, you're looking at all the churches in your area. Here are questions that you can use to evaluate this church. Here we go. Number one, what do they believe about the Bible? Okay, that's the first one. What do they believe about the Bible? Remember, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. Do they believe that? Make sure that they don't have modern prophets, modern apostles. Make sure that they don't talk about new revelation. Make sure they don't have extra books that they've added. Make sure that they believe that the Bible is the ultimate authority, not some person, not some previous church leader. This is the first question. Really, really important. Make sure that means that they're preaching the Bible. If you go to church for a month, or you listen to their sermons online, and you listen to 4 or 5 sermons, and you don't hear them really preaching the Bible, it just sounds like some guy up there, some woman up there that's just teaching whatever they want to teach, telling fun stories, and that's it. Find another church. Make sure that they actually preach the Bible. Number two, what do they teach about Jesus? This is really important. Make sure that they teach that there's salvation in no one else, Acts 4:12. Make sure that they teach that Jesus is God himself, fully God and fully man, that Jesus is part of the Trinity. Now, most Christian churches teach that, but just make sure that they teach that, because Mormonism doesn't teach that, and you want to stay away from any kind of doctrine around Jesus that's just not biblical. Question number three, what is their gospel message? Romans 4 says, people are counted as righteous when they believe in him who forgives sinners. Make sure that they teach the gospel, the real gospel, the simple gospel. Here's the equation. Salvation equals Jesus plus nothing. It's faith in Jesus plus nothing else. Not baptism, not, you know, staying away from drinking too much alcohol. Again, your genuine faith, your genuine salvation should impact your life. It definitely should impact your life, but we are saved by grace through faith, period, not comma. We're saved by grace through faith, period. That's the gospel message of the Bible. That's the good news of the Bible. Make sure that the church that you're checking out preaches that good news. Number four, how do they handle money and prosperity? Make sure that they're not teaching health and wealth or blessings. Make sure that they're teaching the full counsel of God. Make sure that they talk about suffering appropriately, that sometimes we will suffer, and that God's promise isn't that he'll deliver us from suffering, but rather that he will be with us in the suffering. Make sure that they teach that. Make sure that you don't go to a prosperity gospel church In fact, make sure that your church that you're going to doesn't slip into the prosperity gospel, because it is really easy for churches to do that. Number five, do they talk too much about politics? Make sure that you don't go to a church that is making politics central and pushing Jesus to the fringe, or pushing the gospel message to the fringe. Stay away from churches like that. That is not how we're supposed to be. The early church in the book of Acts was not like that. It wasn't. It preached the gospel. And it could have very easily endorsed candidates. It could have very easily talked about Caesar and all these things. It didn't do that. It preached the gospel. Make sure you go to a church that is talking about Jesus. It's not talking about some political figure. Number six, what is the church community like? Make sure that the community speaks the truth in love. Check out a small group. Get a feel for the community. Are they willing to be truthful with one another? Are they truthful about the word of God, but do they do it with love? Do you sense that what I described earlier? Do you sense truth in love? That's question number six. Number seven, now we haven't talked about this yet, but we're going to get into these last few ones, are kind of just additional ones I want you to really put on your checklist. How do they view the Holy Spirit? Okay. So look, here's the thing, and this is maybe for a whole different episode, but make sure that they understand that the Holy Spirit is also God. Make sure that they have a proper teaching of the Holy Spirit, that we receive the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. But I would just say, be careful about churches that, I think the best way to say it, be careful about churches that are just weird when it comes to the Holy Spirit. There are churches out there that teach just some weird things about the Holy Spirit. Now, a good example of this is Bethel Church out in California, but that church has influenced a lot of churches across the country. So now, look, this is for a whole different, again, this is for a whole different episode. I think the spiritual gifts are for today. I certainly believe that. So I'm not saying that the church can't be charismatic or can't teach about the spiritual gifts. I actually believe that's very biblical, but I think that you can go overboard with that, and there are churches that go overboard with that, and usually these churches have prophets and apostles and all this extra revelation, and they kind of frame all of that in terms of like spiritual experiences, and this is new spiritual revelation and things like that. Anyway, I don't want to like open this can of worms if you haven't opened it. Just be aware that there's weird stuff out there around like Bethel and the Bethel movement. And if you haven't heard of any of that kind of stuff, great. Just be aware. If you're going to church and you feel like, okay, this is getting weird now. You know, like 20, 30 years ago, there was like barking and just weird stuff that's just not in the Bible. Just find another church. I don't think that's healthy for you. I don't think that's productive. Stay away from churches that almost like elevate experiential stuff that you just don't find in the Bible. How about we just say it like that? If you're going to church and there's just weird stuff going on that you don't see in the Bible, just find another church. You don't have to make a big scene. Just find another church. All right, number eight and nine have to do with leadership and authority. Here's the question for number eight. How do they relate to leadership and authority? Pay attention to churches that just put too much stock in a guy or a group of men. You know, 1 Peter 5:3 says, don't lord it over the people, lead by your good example. So just be careful. Watch out for churches that have blind loyalty to like one major leader in the church. Now, again, this isn't to say that there can't be clear leadership structure. There should be, but just be careful about churches that become like cult of personalities. There's a lot of churches that do this, where there's just one guy is the main guy. I would just say be careful about that kind of stuff. That doesn't necessarily mean they're teaching the wrong stuff. Just be careful. Make sure that there is a good plurality of leadership in that church. Make sure that in the local church, you know, like in our church, we have overseer teams, 10 guys at each campus that are part of the pastoral team. At Alpine Church, we really share the burden of pastoral authority and leadership. I feel like that's a biblical, healthy way to do it. Just be careful of those churches that, It's just all about Pastor Bob. Like, he's the main guy, and everyone just talks about Pastor Bob more than they talk about Jesus. Just be careful about churches like that. Also, watch out for churches that, certainly watch out for churches that say that they're the one true church. That's a clear sign that you're going to an unhealthy church, because the true biblical church has many local expressions all around the world. The one true church is just the community of Jesus followers all around the world. That's what the one true church is. So if you go to a church kind of like the Mormon church that says, no, we're the one true church. Nobody else has a right. We're the one. We're the only ones. Our denomination's the only one. I would say steer clear of those kinds of churches. It's just not healthy, and it's definitely not true. Now, related to that, okay, question number 9 on our checklist. How do they respond to questions or doubts? Do they allow, like, if you have a question, if you have a doubt, if you challenge the authority in that church biblically, right? If you say, wait a second, I've got a question about this. You said this on Sunday, or you taught this. How do they respond to that? Do they say, oh, whoa, you can't question our authority. You can't ask questions like that. How dare you ask questions like this? Or you can't read that book or this book over here. Like, just be careful. To me, that's an example, or that's a warning sign that you might be going to a controlling church. And this is what the LDS church is. The LDS church says, don't ask questions. You can't have doubts. We'll tell you how to think about everything. Just steer clear of churches like that. Now, you should always bring your questions in the context of the Bible. It shouldn't just be, well, I feel this way, or I want, or I've heard this thing on this podcast. No, look, if you go to the Bible and say, the Bible says this, but you said that. And if they say, well, no, you need to trust us over the Bible, then I would say check out another church, because you should be able to ask legitimate questions at your church. You should be able to test everything like it says in Scripture, but hold on to the good. Make sure that the church you're going to allows for those kinds of questions. And here's my last question on my 10-point checklist for checking out a new non-LDS church. Here it is. Do you sense freedom in Christ? Man, this is so important. Romans 8:1, Paul says, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you sense overall, you go into that church for 2 or 3 months, overall, do you sense freedom in Christ? Watch out for churches that are always kind of leaning into guilt-driven obedience or fear-based spirituality. This is what you just came out of in Mormonism. You can actually find that, if you're not careful, you can find that in some Christian churches. So just watch out for that. Watch out for churches that don't genuinely have freedom in Christ in the community from the pulpit. A good church is going to encourage freedom and growth. It's not going to encourage control or shame. A good church is going to offer grace and truth and community. A good church is going to center everything on Jesus. And a good church is going to teach the Bible faithfully. This is what Paul meant in 1 Timothy 3:15 when he said, the church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of the truth. Look for a church like that. You know, leaving Mormonism can feel like losing your spiritual home, but I want to encourage you today. It's actually the beginning of discovering the real gospel and the true church, which is built on Christ himself. Jesus said this in Matthew 16:18. Now I say to you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Friends, listen, if you're looking for a new church, you're coming out of Mormonism, you're looking for a new church, you're not trading one organization for another. You're entering a living family of faith centered on the finished work of Jesus. So go find that church and get plugged in.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.